Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast, episode 147. I'm talking to Amanda Burl. I'm not sure that I'm saying it correctly, but first I'll thank my sponsor, Head Check Health. Head Check Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Truck Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada. Rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. And now, without further ado, Amanda Burl. I am saying that correctly, aren't I? Amanda Burl? Because she's a mountaineer triathlete. A marathoner, a brain injury advocate. She's done a lot of Instagram. She's a journalist, and most importantly, she's a brain injury advocate, which is why we're on here. But on her Instagram account, but she posts a lot of stuff about brain injury. So definitely check that out, Amanda Burl on Instagram. And I was telling her beforehand that I was really worried by the food. She's a chef, and Vietnamese, and their burgers are just, man, I'm so hungry. But I'm not that hungry, but I just may be starving. Anyway, so Amanda, can you just tell everybody if I got anything wrong there? And also, why are you so interested in brain injury? Why are you involved in this, in the Brain Awareness Month, as you are?
Right on. My primary interest in brain injury is I had to be interested in it if I was ever going to work myself out of the hole I had dug myself into. Had to understand the landscape of the game that I was playing, unknown to myself even, for a really long time. It would be nice if all I had to do was talk about food and eat food and share about food, because food is my favorite thing. But this is a much more important mission that I'm on. So essentially for me, I had a childhood full of sports and, you know, concussions, nothing that really seemed to truly derail me until, what's that?
Nothing stood out for us as a major in your childhood.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, I carried this like, oh, that girl is ADD, ADHD, like whatever it was. There weren't really many barriers to existing up until I went on my first military deployment. And long story short, I had a significant head injury that wasn't really treated like one until down the road. And when I say down the road, I mean over a decade of me navigating problems and trying to figure out why I couldn't read very well and why, you know, driving was so difficult and why I didn't want to be around humans. I was like, what the hell is going on with me? And I always joke, like, for better or worse, thankfully, I had this other injury that led to all this testing and scans. And at that point, everyone was like, oh, shit, you are brain damaged. And then I was getting a little more help, or not recognition in a good way, but more like, okay, this is a thing. And so for me, like, that decade plus of not really understanding what was going on is very significant, because it's like the way I shaped my whole life. And then once I found out, like, oh my goodness, there's a reason behind a lot of this. And, you know, I had become very set in certain ways and cognitively inflexible in some ways. It provided this opportunity. I mean, I had to either settle for this is how your life is now, or go dig up as much information as humanly possible to improve.
Wow. So you said like a decade, so 10 years ago, or that's obviously roughly, but can you pinpoint the exact moment where you, I'm not say changed, but your outlook on life, your perspective was altered, let's say.
Yeah. It was a bit of a slow burn, but I was on my first military deployment in 2003.
And you were in the Navy, right? You were in the Navy. You were a Navy swimmer.
Yes. I eventually became a rescue swimmer, but it was, you know, nothing fancy. I wasn't a Navy SEAL or anything like that. I was an officer on a ship, and we had converted our ship to a prison. And it was an interesting time because we were over there when, you know, everything was starting in 2003. But I would say after I had this, you know, head injury, seemingly minor, like in my mind, it was more I hurt my neck.
Yeah.
It was in the months after that, of course, hindsight's 2020, but it was 100,000 things going wrong. And it's like, when everything goes wrong at the same time, it's hard to pick out which one, you know. Okay, I can't catch a frisbee, I'm not digesting food, I'm coughing and breathing weird. Like, it was so many different things that I would just...
They're happening out, like, just at seemingly random times, are they?
Right. And, you know, you're on a military deployment, and you're like a woman working with all men, and you don't want to complain all the time, and you're confused and you're scared. It's just like, for me, I think I shoved a lot of it down. I don't blame anybody for not figuring this out sooner.
Yeah.
But it was without me understanding anything. Look, 2003 was before head injury and brain injury and concussion got cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just not a thing back.
Yeah.
Oh, were you in the military as well?
No, that's from 2003 was when I was brain injured. I was not in the military.
Oh, okay. Okay, right. So we were before our time.
Ahead of our time, yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, it was interesting when I came back from that deployment and went back, tried to go back to normal life things like riding my bike. And it was funny, I was crashing all the time. And then it's been interesting to go back over my old records. I have someone helping me too, because like looking at words still isn't my strong suit, but to see how often I complain about crashing my bike and how that starts to spread out. And eventually I'm clearly riding the bike again, and I'm only complaining about digestion issues. So it's thankfully there's a pretty good paper trail on me, because we've been able to go back and see all of these things as they were happening. And that's why I got interested in advocacy. Even when I was still utterly confused, I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much that could have been done before that can still be done now. Yeah. And I was noticing that I had been shoved in a lot of groups, like I don't even know how I would describe it. They were more like, they weren't very motivating. There were these groups where I felt like people were just like, well, this is my diagnosis and I'm screwed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And I remember one of them, there's this like pile of Snickers bars on the table. And I'm like, guys, don't eat that crap. Like, I had like all of like, and no, you can do stuff. Like, I promise. And I just felt like I was not in a position to be an educator of any kind, but maybe in a position to just share what it's like and share snippets. And that's where, I mean, that's where like the social media comes in. I was afraid that I would start blowing up.
No, you're fine.
I don't want to look at myself. I'd rather look at you. You're prettier than I am.
I don't think so.
But so I decided that, I mean, it was such a weird time. I'll just like give you the full honesty. I was getting so much, maybe attention. I was doing a lot in the travel world and the cooking world and the fitness world. And I would be like on a magazine cover here or there, confused as hell, like no idea what's going on in my own life.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this feels so disingenuous because my only intent in life right now is trying to make it so that I'm not confused all the time. So I think it's kind of difficult to look at my background and even for me, I'm like, what the hell is going on? There was always this like drive forward, but that's how I got into the advocacy. It was almost the juxtaposition of, oh, wait, this isn't what it looks like. But maybe I can show some snippets of what it's like. And that's what I've done. And that's what I continue to do because I'm still working through some things. But you asked that question. And it was in 2003, it was like, okay, everything's falling apart. And I don't know if this is like mental or physical. I would say the other big aha moment I had on this now 20, it'll be 20 years, this spring journey.
Oh yeah, you're a few months older than me then. A few months longer. I was August 03. So,
okay. Yeah. I think mine was, May-ish, late April, early May. It was actually when I did hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So this was back in late 2020 and I had, you know, both of my brain injuries already. I had had a slew of concussions and whiplash injuries. And so the big clue with doing hyperbaric oxygen therapy, now medical grade, not this stuff when you sit in like a little cannula blows like half-ass air. Oh, hell no. This is like inside a real chamber, 100% oxygen. After a couple days of doing that, brain inflammation went down. I had no idea that I had a problem with chronic brain inflammation on top of everything else. I experienced after a couple days of two treatments a day of medical grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy, because I had reduced brain inflammation, I had a little more clarity of thought. And I know you know what this is like, but for anyone else out there, this language really helped me. Anything you can do to help your situation that opens up your bandwidth is valuable. And whether that is keeping the lights low, not eating junk, you know, getting your brain inflammation down, you know, no big deal. And I was like, oh my gosh, there is a whole world left for me to discover, because I had even forgotten what it was like to be able to think straight. And I'm not going to pretend I was thinking straight. This is like, what, 2.5 years ago now?
Yeah.
But I was just like, there is so much more. Like, my journey isn't done. In some ways, I think I'd been hanging around being like, rah, rah, like I figured it out. And it's like, oh, no, there's more. So that was the other big aha moment. But like is often the case, when I stopped the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, eventually I had so much gut dysbiosis, you know, like brain, vagus nerve, digestion, that it all came back, and that inflammation ended up coming back. So, but that was another moment where I was like, there's so much more to this like complex situation that I don't get.
There's so much. I know I asked that question, but it's kind of impossible to answer because there's so much going on with the brain that it's hard to say when, unless you have I know, like for me, example, I had a severe brain injury. I mean, I was knocked out. I was unconscious for, you know, I was in a coma, but But so I know exactly when it changed. But like, if you're unsure of it, and there's so much going on that in the brain, then it's hard to really say what happened and when and why, and you can't really relate to me because the little parts of your brain affect your emotions, which affect your eating, which affect your breathing, and all this stuff. So it's all over the places. I mean, there's no way to tell. But you wanted to, so would you kind of hinted at what you want people to understand, but you can be as a stranger people, but it's hard to really explain to people who would have experienced it what you want them to understand. And but also, but I mean, you've also hinted at, which I think is very important, is the positives, that it's not like that life is not over, just not just because, I mean, I know obviously it alters your life big majorly, but I mean, but there's a lot you can do, which I mean, you're doing what you can do, which is your able-bodied, and just being active. You need to be active in different ways, and so you have to say, like, how would this attitude of just treating it positively, and maybe hint at what you want people to understand about you and other, say, other brain for people understand about their situation? I know that's
Yeah.
another question, but.
Yeah. Well, I think a takeaway from sometimes I feel as though, I mean, every injury is different, whether it's one concussion or 14 high or brain injury or whatever. I know it's unique that I went, so long not understanding. And when we did finally have this imaging, that I mean, it wasn't just like QEEG. Like, I had structural damage in three areas of my brain, and not everyone has that luxury. Yeah, I mean,
Weren't
and this
recognized
was,
for years. Sorry.
what's
Weren't
that?
recognized for years by your injuries, your structural injuries.
Right. Yeah, because when I had the second injury, we knew where I'd smashed my head. We knew like how my eye, my retina had ruptured, I guess is the word. There's a hole in my retina. So we knew the second injury, like the dynamics of it. So when I had all this other brain damage, it was like, oh, this has been an ongoing thing, and like three little bleeds and stuff like that. But here's what I think. Back in 2003 or whenever, like, if I had known that day this is what transpired, things might have been different. Like, maybe I would have been susceptible to people saying, oh, you can't go do this. Oh, you can't ride a bike. You can't, and I didn't have that. And so even though I had a lot of challenges, I had to go with what I could still do. And this is something I've said before, but I like the visual. I like visuals. I need visuals. It's like, okay, what are the things that I can do in my life? And what are the things that I feel like doing? And where do these things overlap? Like, I could have gotten a job at McDonald's or something like that, but I didn't want to do that. I'm sure I could have, but that's how I ended up pursuing all of these things that interested me, as long as I didn't have to get too involved in words. And we'd find out later that there was this whole visual processing issue. Reading and I are not as closely acquainted as we used to be. But I went to culinary school, I went to journalism school, I went to wine school, I started traveling more. I just started doing what I could. And that is, I mean, that's adapting and that's following your instincts and your intuition. But had I understood the physical changes that had gone in my brain, I don't know that I would have done that. So I think it's, I mean, like, so in hindsight, I could say always pivot towards what interests you and do what you can, even if it doesn't feel like a lot, because all these little steps I made kind of cluelessly, like, I guess I'll go to culinary school. I couldn't go to law school anymore. It was just, it all added up. It's like, oh my gosh, this is actually the person I want. This is who I am. This is, I like to explore. I like to travel. I love novelty. I love to taste different things. I love to ask a lot of questions because that's what I need to do to understand. I'm not learning from books. So there is something to say about, no matter what, following what interests you. And I'm really glad I did, because in a way, you could say that it was a way to shove down and ignore some of my challenges, but in the most positive way possible by doing things that interested me.
And what are those things that interest you? But there are so many. There's your cooking, and your mountaineering, your marathoning, but also your advocacy. So, which I mean, is part and parcel of your whole having a brain injury. But still, what would you say is your can you even pinpoint the one thing that's
probably not, right? Yeah. It's funny because it's like having worked in media in the past, there's been, I don't know, I just feel a lot of pressure on me to pick a lane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
I don't want to pick one. Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing that like just lights me up spiritually is novelty and experience and exploring the world through my senses, which would, you know, what I see visually, what I take in, you know, just like tastes, the way places make me feel. And I think that perhaps the whole concept of novelty is extra special to me because novelty is neuroplasticity. At a time when like I wasn't getting any outside help rewiring this thing, the world was helping me do it. So maybe that's my special relationship with novelty. But I always knew that I wasn't going to be, or I had no aspirations to be like, let me just stop everything and only talk about brains. I have been more about, maybe this goes back to a military principle, but leading by example, which would be getting to the root causes of problems and finding out about solutions and pursuing those so that I could actually work my way out of the problem. And at some point be like, this thing that, you know, I want to talk about it because I want other people to have the outcome that I have, not because I have nothing else to talk about. And I have gotten to a point now where I thankfully can do these things that I love. It's not as much as I would like, but it will be, which is travel and explore and experience and push myself physically in outdoor situations and share what I learn. There is this, like, it's so funny that I ended up getting my master's in journalism, because it was always about getting information and then sharing it. And I didn't know that that was not limited to travel and food and like wellness type stuff. It's like, holy crap, this brain adventure I've been on is worth sharing, because there's no one place I went that, you know, just fixed me. Or, you know, sometimes people talk about they do like psychedelics and they're like, oh my God, my whole life changed. No switches flipped for me like that. It has been a culmination of many things that I've done. And that's why I wanted to write a book about all of this, because it's just like, I will share exactly what my trajectory was, but point out very clearly where things could have been sped along more. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm happy with who I am and where my life is, but it didn't have to take like almost 2 decades to figure it all out.
Yeah.
If I can save someone that time, I'm happy to.
Exactly. Yeah. No, like I mean, you're talking about it before. Well, first of all, you're saying you're like novelty and travel. So you come to Newfoundland. It's different than it's in Canada, so it's not like really exotic travel for you. But you know, it's in a different place. But also. While you mull that over, you've gotten the QEG and their EEG and at the and different scans at New York and just other places across the U.S. and aiming clinics. I saw on your Instagram feed, what have you learned, and integrating the neuroplasticity into your explanation, but what have you learned from your scans and from seeing what happened to your brain.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind in the spirit of honesty was when I started getting scans, like the MRI with DTI, functional MRI, QEEG. One of the things that was the most shocking to me, and this is like, it digs deep, was when I was going around complaining and sharing my symptoms, I was like, this is my experience and I believe it. Stop blaming all of this on my mental state. So one of the most shocking things for me was as I started to gather actual hard data, it was the people around me being like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you didn't believe me until I had the proof? Like, this is bullshit. And that's another reason to advocate is like, believe in yourself. Now, that being said, I have plenty to say on the intersection of where, you know, if you're struggling with an injury, that can become a huge damper on your mental health. Yeah. But so that's the first thing I would say is I learned that, holy shit, people don't really believe me unless I wave this in front of their face.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
But I would say the second thing was there was an element of triangulation I was able to do. So once I had this MRI with DTI, so my right cerebellum, I don't mind putting this stuff out there because it's just like the truth helps.
It
helps people understand. Yeah. So one of the three areas of my brain that was, they called it like severe axonal, like 3D shearing, like an area.
And like little bleeds in
the... But okay, now I know these areas and I know where the shearing is. Okay, can I look at what is the function of that part of the brain? And can I take one of these symptoms that are almost inexplicable to me? Like, why can I dance, but I can't learn a dance yet?
Okay.
And then I would look at it and be like, okay, well, the cerebellum is involved with what? And then I would, by then, know the right people to go ask. And then, you know, like things, I had a lot of executive function issues. So it was also a way to like crack open the door into learning about brain function, different areas of the brain. And like, obviously, I would say a place like Cognitive FX in Utah that uses functional MRI So now we don't care as much about structural damage. We care about the blood flow pattern in the brain. Mm. And then we are going to look at that. And then we're going to do exercises to drive blood flow there. Like, that was another aha moment when it comes to scans. And I would say also the work I did recently with the Amen clinics, where I did a full evaluation and we looked at the SPECT scans from blood perfusion and blood flow. Very revealing as well, because what I always say is it was helpful to get the static, the MRI structural information. Okay, look, now you all can believe me. I've got plenty of brain damage. Now let's put that away. Let's look at how I am functioning. Like, yeah. How somebody is functioning is what's important. I still have plenty of brain damage on imaging. And I mean, I just had imaging again at the end of last year. And it's, for me, I'm such a on a quest for data, it's like, I'm collecting this to show you I have come so far in my ability to function and I still have that brain damage. It's because you can work around it.
Yeah, no, I mean, because you're saying that, like, just now you can show your injury and you know what your injury is, you know yourself, and you can show others. But brain injury is so, I don't know if it's different because I've never had a severe other injury, but I mean, but I mean, it obviously is just your brain, which just controls everything. But it's paradoxically, it's injury, but it's also an opportunity, which you kind of hinted at. Opportunity of just knowing, of not even knowing what happened, but and just recognizing the world, like everything, just your whole perspective on life changes. And that may be something that's hard to, because your whole life change, your perspective and life changed gradually over 20 years, and you're, and like, it's been 20 years for me as well. So it's hard to really know when my, it's not like right after injury, hey, your perspective changes. You're still growing, you're still a human being, you're still living your life and seeing different things and interpreting. It's also, it's the way you interpret the world and the way everything, and so maybe it's, I think time is, I'm kind of talking to myself here, but time is the real, unfortunately, because that's not what people want to hear. People who are just in brain injury don't want to hear that it takes time, but time is really, it really does, because it provides you opportunity to just look at the world differently and to see opportunities differently. And so I wanted you to just touch on how your opportunities, obviously you became a TV host and a chef, but so before, just and I wanted to, you know, end on more of a, what just your chef thing, your cooking, yes, I'm into the whatever the food, but it's, yeah, how your brain, do you say, affected your, I know because you started your whole journey 20 years, it's hard for you to say exactly how your brain affected that, but how did you morph into saying what you said earlier about how you don't want to do this, you want to work here, you want to be a being TV, you want to do a chef, you want to, your, so how would you say your brain, after seeing the scans, how would you say that has influenced your life, has changed your
I would say so much, I mean, from first significant injury to now is almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I didn't have this good data until it was 4 or 5 years ago that I started to collect this. And, you know, it started, this is after anything notable, Ironman triathlons and climbing mountains. I actually collected this data, the bulk of it, after I did the cool, what people would call the cool stuff that I've done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, it's almost as though it's a blessing that I didn't know, because once I knew about this, I stopped doing a lot of that to focus on getting better. And I've done that, and that's great, but I've been going on a lot less adventures recently, because it's kind of like the elephant in the room. Oh my gosh, this is what's going on here.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I be spending my time working on this? Because I'm 43 now, I have eggs in the freezer, but I want to have kids. Like, I need to be able to tolerate noise before I have kids. So I'm going to work on that. But I would say another thing that happened with the scans that was really helpful because I had been struggling with reading for so long. I redesigned my entire life around the fact that I could hardly read. I could read out loud, but yeah. I could not get comprehension from what I was reading. So when we found that another one of the areas with significant, like visible structural damage was my occipital lobe, like where the visual yeah. cortex is. And then that's how I ended up at the Mind Eye Institute in Chicago, chasing down like visual processing disorder. I don't throw around the words like disorder and syndrome and disability very much, yeah. but it's all clues. Yeah. And what we discovered there was that I had, and now this goes back to original injury. I was having so much trouble reading. I invented a way to read, but it is not an optimal way to read. And I'm kind of stuck in that right now where it's really interesting. I read words and then I try to make a picture and then I add like the next word and I change the picture and it's just a very inefficient way of reading. So it's funny because like after getting these scans and then getting all these additional tests, it's like, oh, this is what they call a visual processing disorder. It's like, okay, how much do I want to invest in improving this situation versus just live my life with what I got because I can make it like I've been making it work. And so that's been where I've been the last year and a half is trying to put equal amounts of effort into accepting the situation for what it is and still working to improve the situation because there is this little like competitive and I am my only opponent. Like you can get all of it back, Amanda. You can get all of it back. But it's not worth it for me to spend every waking hour working towards that when there's life to be lived. So it's exactly. like a lot of it yeah. is a balancing act.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one to get across people. That's like you don't spend your whole day, whole time thinking about how we can improve, whatever that means. But you know, and but so it's about the living life and that's improving. So living life, time is just time keeps going. It's like as much as depressing as you may, some people may think that sounds, it's not. It's just it's beneficial thing. I can't my speech gets garbled, but and it sounds like we're exactly the same age. I mean, I turned 43 in May. May 1st, I turned 43. So,
I just did.
So both are interested, and we're 23, I guess.
We're both on the same timeline here.
Yeah. So
I was just gonna say, yeah. I mean, it's been a significant part of my story too, because there's so much that you know people in the world and even friends and family, unless you share, don't see. I had some good slaps across the face, no pun intended, the last year, I would say, where you know, some of my doctors were like, okay, you're obsessed. Like you are obsessed with your quest for knowledge is bordering on obsession. And so I had to really take a look at myself in that too. But, you know, I did a lot of interesting testing just to find out, you know, more. And you don't find out more about yourself. You are reminded about yourself, or you always kind of know like who you are. And I am just so motivated by understanding and truth and the world. And I get it. It used to be this, like, I have this information now. Believe me. And now it's like, this is really interesting. And the more I learn, the more I improve. And the more I learn and then talk about it, the more I get to work with people who are interested in helping people improve too. So it has been this sort of like cycle of the more I've done for myself, the more I've been able to share and do for others. But this past year, I had to like really dial that back because people who I trusted were and still do were like, okay, you're obsessed. So yes. there are worse things to be obsessed with.
Calm down, than your
own self-improvement.
So did you before we kind of get away from that this whole Banjo thing, which is the main purpose, the whole purpose of this podcast. But so you went to all these clinics across the states, and this was not like not something that the doctors were like, oh, you need to get this scan or this, or your visuals, you need to have the CRT, you need a mind eye, suit, idea, their immediate brain scan. This is just your kind of journalistic pursuit of knowledge. What'd you say? Did you say that kind of put it on?
Yeah. Here's how I would describe it. And of course, my experience is unique, but the VA system, as American military, as a veteran, was not helpful. It was the opposite of helpful. It was medications. It was a heavy slant towards the mental health. And even once I had all the proof that I had brain injury, there wasn't anything really being offered. And now I don't expect anybody to be my savior. However, given the nature of the injury itself, I did not understand the big picture. So I'm trusting like my one specific VA hospital. Okay, you're telling me there's nothing I can do. I have to take these meds. You know, I had the postural orthostatic tachycardia. So like when I'd stand up, I'd get lightheaded and pass out, which would just perpetuate the concussion situation.
I did a podcast with someone from Utah on the Lauren Zayach's, the Phoenix concussion, about POTS, about the postural orthostatic tachycardia. Yeah. We did a whole podcast about that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very significant to know about, especially because I had been in vestibular rehab for way too long. And then it was like, wait a second, this isn't a vestibular. This dizziness is like lightheadedness from the pods. But where were we going with this?
I have no idea. We're just kind of talking about brain injury.
You had said something about Utah or
Lauren Zayach, who was the Phoenix Concussion Recovery, on a bunch of podcasts, and she did recently a presentation at the American Congress of Rehabilitation Medicine with her friend Jenna, and we professor about this on this time. So do you? Yeah,
right.
You're dealing
with this as well. I think what we were getting at was this idea of POTS. That can be a difficult diagnosis. Hate to use that word, to come by. And so nothing I was doing with the VA system I wasn't getting any direction on things that I could maybe improve upon, or even what I would call like an education surrounding this stuff. And again, brain injury, there are a lot of potential barriers to normal learning. I need to be sitting down with somebody, allowed to ask a bajillion questions. I need visuals in front of me. I don't learn the way I used to, which would be sitting in a lecture or reading a book. So I couldn't go do an undergrad in neuroscience to improve my situation. I needed more hands-on. So when I got out of the VA system and I went to NYU's Concussion Center, that was 100 times better, but it still was a mainstream hospital. Yes. So I remember now what you were asking was, so basically all this, I call it aftermarket stuff, was of my own, it was my own self-motivation and just intrinsic motivation to learn more. And it was, what was helpful for me, and this is why I am not afraid to talk about this and be completely honest about it. It's not the most glamorous thing in the world, but I talk about not being able to read very well. And then somebody sends me a message, Dan, and he over Instagram, and he was like, I go to this place and they've been helping me, and I look up this place and I send them a message and I'm like, oh, and here's my brain scan too. And they're like, holy shit, we can help you. We're almost like, we're 99.9% sure, given that this is like a visual cortex, like we're called the Mind Eye Institute. And then I go there and lo and behold, and then they're the ones who told me about cognitive FX. And then, you know, it's like the more you get into this world, and for me, the more I've tried things that didn't help. But I mean, I would never share that as a, this doesn't work. It's for my specific injury. But it's, so it, all the aftermarket stuff came from more just doing advocacy and talking to other people. And I'm well aware that I have a pretty limited ability to take in outside information unless I'm actively engaged in conversation. It's like, no offense, but if we email back and forth, it's almost like not real. If it's only, you know, me picking up a book and trying to learn about like functional neurology, no, that's not, there's a certain set of things that needs to happen for things to integrate and click in for me. And thankfully, my ability to talk and interact enthusiastically with people. I mean, when I first started the hyperbaric oxygen therapy and I was feeling better and more clarity of thought, I mean, the guy who owned this place could not peel me off of him if he tried, because all I wanted was like, give me information. Because yeah. I was like, this is a clue. This is like a direction for me to go.
So for you, for example, I mean, obviously information, the more information, the better, basically. But for everybody else, just I would say everyone else is just doing throws to their own injury, their own personality, everything, life. But I mean, but more information, the better. So I think you're frozen there. Okay.
Okay. You were frozen. You're unfrozen. But yes.
I was going to say you're frozen. But so, and I'm the one who gets to record this. So you're frozen. So let's just say, like, for you, obviously, the more information, the better. But for everybody else that may not be, they may not want to, or even be able to, capable of even understanding the less information they're getting. So, or have the opportunity to share it to people who could help them. But I would say definitely, I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but the more information you can get, the better about your injury, whether it's scans or not. But I want to ask you, you're back in, I assume you're still back in Mountain Time, so probably back in Utah, which I don't know if you're back in, but Mountain Time, so you're, because you were in New York on Thursday. We're going to do this podcast on Thursday. It's now Saturday. And you're back in Mountain Time now. And so Utah, probably?
I'm back in Mountain Time now. I am in Idaho. So I have been living in New York City since, well, like technically 2013. I moved abroad for a while.
Oh, yes. You know,
people with lots of head injuries do very interesting things sometimes and very impulsive things. Like move abroad.
There you go.
New York is where I still have roots because I still have a lot of medical stuff going on.
Yeah.
But my entire heart is in Idaho.
Okay. So that's kind of, no, I'd say where you're from, maybe in Idaho is not really, wouldn't really think of the two things yet. But I have a good friend here who's a sailor from Manitoba. And I would never have thought that. But apparently it's like if there's lots of lakes, so, but it's in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's weird. let's say you were saying now you're kind of getting back, you took a step away from adventuring or from either doing a triathlon or mountaineering or hiking or running or whatever, but swimming. But are you planning to get back into it or get back in anything that's, say, adventure? Say you're being a chef, which I saw those Instagram pictures of all the Vietnamese food and the burger in New York City looks so good. So what do you plan to do? Get back? You said you got nodded there. Get back into stuff.
Yeah, everything is so I'm so much more chill and fluid than I used to be. So 2 years ago in Idaho, I was skiing and I broke my leg. And that was interesting because one of my coping mechanisms for like sympathetic overdrive.
I broke my leg. That was interesting. Good take.
But it grounded me in a way that I had to cancel some adventures. Like literally.
Yeah.
It takes like big forces to get me to stay still. But it was good because I learned a lot in recovering from that, I put put disproportional like amount into my ability to exercise. And what is this? You know, it's healthy to exercise. Like blood flow to the head's always a good thing. But it was really interesting because it helped me see it. In many ways, I was using some of my activities like exercise and adventures and travel and cooking as a way to avoid some of the thoughts and feelings that were coming. Oh, exactly. So, and then, you know, last year I had double knee surgery. And so these were very organic reasons to not be as into the adventure. But another thing that I realized, and this might be helpful for other people out there, like my nervous system was extremely destabilized. And so what I didn't understand were these little like whiplash injuries I would get. And then it was actually going through knee surgery last year. I went away from that surgery concussed. And nobody smashed me in the head while I was in surgery. A couple of weeks later, I had all this testing. I wasn't feeling well. And they were like, my pupils, like everything. They were like, oh my gosh, like you're concussed. I had to go back through vision and vestibular therapy. And we don't know if it was the anesthesia effects on my nervous system, or if it was the way when I got intubated for the anesthesia, if it, because I have a very sensitive neck, brain stem, you know, I had spine surgery, all of this stuff. But it was like, so last year, I, for the first time, which sounds ridiculous because it's been a 20-year adventure, I became so aware of how important it was for me to protect my head and my neck that I was like, okay, I need to spend some time with no injury whatsoever, no surgery, no whiplash, no anything. And so this past year was this year of, it was almost like, you know, adventure light. I went to the Alps and I hiked for like 2 straight weeks. There was no ice axe. There was no, you know, nothing like that.
Nothing crazy.
And I think it's been very beneficial because I haven't put myself at risk for injury. And now that being said, am I alpine skiing this season? Yes. Am I doing crazy black diamond stuff? No. Yeah. And I have had no falls or anything like that. I think it was because you were mentioning time. You know, we always get back to the point that it has been this year of taking it really easy and just giving myself the space to explore more and learn more and start to conceptualize what does work look like for me moving forward? What is it that I truly want? And it is time. And I would also add, because I always have something to add, that in addition to time with head injury, when your nervous system gets destabilized, and I mean, mine has been destabilized for a very long time, it takes time for that to go back to its optimum place. My body still has this, ooh, don't hurt me thing going on.
Yeah.
And I recognize just the way I am and the way I move and the way I react to things. And so just allowing time and peace and rest, both emotional and physical, has been really beneficial. Now, 3 years ago, I was still that person who would like give me something to smash and I'd be like, I'll rest when I'm dead. But now I'm all about the rest.
rest is underrated for sure. I love good rest. I mean, I'm active too, but I'm not as active as you, but I'm active and sleeping, just resting, just going, I'm just sleeping. Sleeping is great, but I mean, just take it easy, just going for a easy walk or like, it's like, and know the hike. I know the Alps are not an easy hike, but you can take a slow, like, I was just gonna say, read on your Instagram page or your picture of you and all these things, slow is fast, fast is slow, and it's just like, or smooth is fast, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, and it's just
oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one, and so I would definitely, I mean, that's a very important point, just to. Don't be afraid. I know people say all the time that, you know, rehab is so hard and you got to put the effort in and all the stuff and you do, but you can also have to cheat yourself, not necessarily cheat yourself, but like take care of yourself and just take it slow and take it smooth and take it rest when you need to. And rest is like I said, just said underrated. But so I would also recommend everyone please check out Amanda Burrell, B-U-R-R-I-L-L, her Instagram page and her on Nature Else. But you always tell you're writing a book, so do you want to tell us about that, or is that just in the offing?
Yeah. So it's funny. The book had to keep changing because I kept essentially living out a better ending than I could have ever imagined. I for a while had been grappling, you know, as a journalist, I can write shorter articles, but I was like, how am I going to tell this story? It being that like linear thought. And it was really confusing for a while because I had a handful of people offering ghostwrite my book, but I didn't want a ghostwriter because I didn't want to pretend that I sat still and wrote a book. Like, come on, that's exactly the thing that I'm not able to do. So it took meeting the right person. And so I guess I would say I'm the author of the book and I have a co-writer. And, you know, I found a literary agent and stuff like that. The book is, for me, at first I used to think of it as, I just want to put all this shit behind me, but I also want to help people and I want to inspire people. And this will be like me dropping the microphone and walking away. You find me climbing mountains in Scotland or something like that. Yeah. And I don't see it like that anymore. I see it as one, this is a really great way to advocate by sharing like my story and sharing what helped, because so much has helped in, you know, this world of aftermarket brain stuff. And sharing that, my experience is also very therapeutic for me. I don't put much effort into like what I share on social media or anything like that. It's literally, I'm like so many people's worst nightmare when like trying to monetize me. I'm like, no, I don't give a crap about that. Book first, everything else later. Okay. And so what I really want to do is, and it's almost in honor of myself, but it also everybody else out there, I want to, and I will show what it's like. And I like the analogy because I love cold weather and I love the snow, but we have found a really great way to explain what it's like inside the snow globe, but not ever accept that you're inside of it and never be resigned that you can't find your way out. Right. And I think that's really the most important lesson that I've learned over time. I remember the first time I heard that phrase, acceptance without resignation. And I remember, you know, sitting in some of these groups where I speak more in energy terms now, but what I was feeling in these groups with everyone else's resignation. Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for anybody else. So yeah, the book will be, I mean, look, I have lots of exciting tales of like skipping around the world and tasting lots of yummy things and interesting people, but it's all been adaptation and guided by, or, you know, like situations I found myself in. I always say when I had this first head injury, the first significant one, I was married. I was, my plan was to go to law school and be an antiquities lawyer. I essentially wanted to be head counsel for like Met or some fancy museum like that. I loved archaeology.
Yeah.
I'd probably be like an avid hiker. And I'd probably have like 4 or 5 kids now. And that's not the way life turned out. But, you know, that is maybe a happy accident, even that I made a lot of choices that make for an exciting life. But the most important thing is, I think, like learning to accept a situation for what it is, but not be resigned that you can't make it better.
I think it's so true. I mean, acceptance is such a big part of not getting it and getting over, but acceptance is such a big part of brain drain. Just moving forward, moving, taking time to just realize that life goes on, but that you want to resign yourself to it or accept it or what. But I mean, acceptance is not giving up. And that's something that's been kind of beaten into everybody, that acceptance means, if you say accept that, you're giving up, that's not what acceptance means. And I think that's very important. So yes, thank you. And also before I let you go, the name will actually two things. The name of your book, if you have one, or if you have a date that you think it may be released, but also, what is your favorite of all the food? Not just foods you showed on your Instagram feed, but of all the food, everything you cook, because you're a chef, of all the things you cook, what's your favorite?
You see how I light up when you say food? Okay, so as far as the book goes, what a fun opportunity to just be transparent. I signed a bunch of contracts I shouldn't have in the last year and a half, so I can't really talk about it that much.
Okay.
But I would say in the next year, it will be a thing.
It'll be I'm sure it'll be on your Instagram page. But
I'll share when I can.
Yeah.
I call it the Amanda tax when I go around like signing documents and misunderstanding situations or, you know, spending thousands of dollars in places I shouldn't have.
more importantly, though, your favorite meal that either you cook or your mom cooks or you've had cooked for you.
Oh, you just hit me in another place. Okay. That my mom cooks. Okay. So I'll give you two.
Personally, don't be shy of that.
I love, and look, when I was in culinary school, I went to French culinary school, and I was so grateful to learn these techniques and like butchery and fabrication and like how to make stock and broth and all that jazz.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I am simple. I want a piece of meat. I want a fatty piece of meat. And everything else is secondary to the meat. So my favorite thing, is like a ribeye, like a fatty ribeye. As far as
there's no limit.
Right.
Wherever you want. So don't feel limited in your choices.
I for as complex a human being as I am, I just want a ribeye. Like I want a bone-in ribeye. And then if I'm home, though, my mom is from Vietnam and she makes amazing food.
Yes.
That would I want a bowl of pho and I want a half a banh mi sandwich on the side. I want that's my soup and sandwich is the banh mi with the pho. It's as simple as that.
Okay, well, that's because the pictures on here is what there's a pho, there's a on well, there's the burger, but that's a different picture, but there's the pho, there's three bowls, but I only know is there a sandwich, is there a banh mi there on your
maybe a while back. I just spent some time with my mom where we ate a lot, but I don't think I had a sandwich, although just today I posted the sandwich I ate yesterday, which was like a big egg. Drippy yolk everywhere.
Oh man, was that in Idaho or was that New York?
No, I was in New York. I just got back. I just got back to Idaho. I got into my flannel. I'm back in Idaho.
Thank you. Yes, great. That's a good point. Good point. You're in flannel. Yeah, like the uniform for Idaho. I'm sure. But so thank you so much for doing this. And we've talked for over an hour now, and seems like we're the same age. We built that brain juice 20 years ago. We're like, there's just so much that I can ask you about and be interested in. But thank you so much for doing this podcast. And like I said, I hope it'll be out Tuesday. So people listening, it's out now because you're listening to it. So. But thanks so much. So and that was hopefully you have another one out the next week. So but right now Amanda Burl, follow her on Instagram is at Amanda. I follow her, so I'm not sure what her at thing is on Instagram, but type in Amanda Burl and blue check mark. D-U-R-R-I-L And yeah, and I'm and also people should either your website or your Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Or
yeah, Twitter. Instagram's fine. I mean, once I launch, I have a website. Once I relaunch that, once the book is like, I'll share all that on Instagram. I'm not like super into self-promotion right now. So
fair enough. Yeah, but definitely follow her on that. So at least you will get some notification when she's allowed to talk about her book, when the book comes out, when there's actual title and Amanda can actually talk about it. But for now, thank you so much, Amanda, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Oh.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.